The rest can light the candle. Haha, yeah, girl, seldom come. Okay. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then let us get ready for puja chanting. Huh? develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then we shall mindfully commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjiya Moni Pho. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. How to change to lowest? This one? Huh? That off it. Huh? If like that, it's off it. Well, it's affecting my running nose. off it. Blow somewhere else. Okay. Okay, turn the page 1 of the chanting book. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarpa Ditena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena Do pe na hang su gang hina puja ye puja niyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno pe thang te tang kasumasantatin puja yami munindasa Siri pada saruhe puje mi budang kusumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa wawang Adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Now we are chant the padi puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind, to help arise the needed clarity, to dispel all darkness of ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balanced. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Budang pujemi Damang pujemi Sanghang pujemi Okay, you can be seated. Then we will off the light and you can have, I think, 35 minutes of meditation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or the devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine or the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehipasiko opanayiko Pachatang veditabho vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Jalikaraniyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect triple japa. Bedang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. ังฮะพุทธเจ้ามีโอเค you can be seated Okay, relax yourself, body and mind, then maintain some form of attention, then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. You can ask whatever question that is related to the meditation or the teaching, or how you can apply this teaching to help you understand life and to live life and to overcome whatever problem you have in life. Okay, now we'll open up. If you got any meditation reporting or question, you just put up your hand. We will pass the mic to you. Anybody? Nobody as usual. You got any question or meditation reporting you should report? Okay, I forgot to mention the date. Today is the 3rd of August, 2017. So Thursday, we are at Brother Tune and Sister Padmasuri's house having our Thursday class. Anybody? If you don't have anything, you should let me know what topic of the Dhamma you want to understand. Today I'm not feeling very well because this morning I got a flu and I was caught in the rain in the afternoon. So you have to excuse me. I was having a rest just now, which was quite good. Then later on, don't know what happened. The running nose come back. That's why you see me now, like having this sinusitis problem. But it's okay. The body is still a body. You have to understand. It's part of nature's condition. The body will go the way of nature. That is what the reality is. So you cannot come to terms with that reality. Your form and mind will have problem. So things that need to endure, you have to endure through understanding. Then you will be at peace. Okay. You better tell me what you want to understand. Or you better report your meditation, otherwise you won't learn. Anybody? The mic is there. Just raise your hand. Pass the mic to Sister Padmasuri.
Good evening, Brother Sister and all Kajanamitas. I just have a little experience to share.
Okay. Yeah, good.
And a small question to ask, Brother. It was early in the morning when I went to the market. I used to go to this same shop to buy, to get my meat. So actually, that we usually go to the coffee shop. It's a habit that we use their washroom without asking the owner.
Yeah.
So this morning when this particular morning when I went to that shop, I have a problem. So emergency, I need to use the top toilet.
Oh, okay.
I've been using that shop's particular shop's toilet quite often. I've been frequenting.
Yeah, yeah.
So this particular I went in, so I heard two knock at the door. I didn't realize that somebody is actually angry with me using that toilet.
Oh.
So when I came out, because I know the shop, those shopkeeper there.
Yeah.
That this lady, she starts scolding very abusively using those words.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, it's like I feel the heart area here, you know, move.
Yeah.
But I didn't react.
Yeah,
so she just scold. So after she scold, I mean she the abusive words that used. Yeah. Then the last word she said, "If you don't want to kao kuan, never mind. But you cannot use the toilet." So I said, "Oh, like that lah. Sorry lor, I use your toilet already. I still apologize. Sorry lor, I use the toilet already." Then I get whatever I need from the meat shop. Then I walk out. So. What my after that the moment I walk out, then I can see my mind starts.
Yeah.
That when the thought come in.
Yeah. The sankara one more.
Then they say, "Why you so stupid? People scold you for nothing. You still say sorry and all that." So after that, I contemplated. When we have the mindfulness.
Yeah, you will be aware
that she is stirring. There's no negativity. When there's no negativity in us, our mindfulness can protect us from the negativity arising in us.
Okay, good.
So my question is that, Bratio, after coming out from that shop, how can we maintain that kind of mindfulness?
Okay. Thank you so much for the question. And the sharing of that experience. So this one is quite similar to that day we had our Tuesday class. Even though the question is entirely like different. You remember Sister May? She asked three possible scenarios about driving. Yeah? Then she saw crossing the road. A dog. Was it a dog?
Yeah.
Okay. Then she wanted to avoid the dog. Then when she went back, she contemplated. Then she came out with three possible scenarios. She said the first scenario is, what happened if I couldn't be mindful enough to avoid the dog, then I banged the dog. Even though I got no mental intention, is there karmic implication? Then the second scenario is it, let's say there's a lorry at the back. If I brake, I may save the dog, but I put myself at risk. Then the third scenario, I forgot already. What was the third scenario? She mentioned something. Anyway, not important. So the question is, how do we act? And as I've explained earlier on, action cannot be premeditated. And you know what is premeditated? Means you try to think about it, then next time tell yourself, this is how I will act. That is acting according to memory, reasoning, conditioning, and knowledge. And that is not true action. For a cultivator of the Dhamma, you must have the understanding. We call it Yoniso Manasikara. That's why you have to act with wisdom, act with understanding. But in Padmasri's case now is slightly different because she has acted, she has asked for forgiveness and all those things. Then she wants to know, after that, when she came out of the shop, she, because of the mindfulness, she can see how the mind was chattering, talking to herself. You see, the mind, which is egoic, try to influence you and make you become what you are. In her own way, she said, the thought told her, you're stupid. She said, you already asked for forgiveness. Why do you have all this problem and all those things? Yeah. So this is how the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the thought, they can rationalize and talk to you and stir you. That's why without wisdom, without understanding, it's not easy. This type of thinking can come because it is a habitual tendency. It is what they call a characteristic of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. It will tend to have this type of sankara movement. That's why without the Dhamma, without the understanding, without the wisdom, this concocting of the mind, or the heedless thinking mind, or what I should call it, the mundane mind, is quite common. That's why you need to reflect, contemplate, develop the understanding. Most important is the stability of mindfulness, stability of understanding. If you have the stability of mindfulness and the understanding, you are different. You are very observant then. Then even when you heard something, like there are sometimes people knock on your door, you have to be more tactful, like you mentioned, because you go to that shop often. But you mentioned you haven't used the upstairs toilet before, is it? Oh, you used it before. Then nobody complained or whatever. But in this case, because the owner, I think one of the lady, maybe he doesn't like people to use his toilet. It's a meat shop, it's not a coffee shop. Coffee shop, they will allow you to use. You have been using it before, it's okay. So what is important is the sensitivity is very important. When you hear the knock, you should respond. But I'm not teaching how to respond, because that one will get you conditioned. You may go and like hold on to it and say, brother, do you say like that? Then you try. That is not the way to act. It depends on the situation, the condition. That's why I say action is there and then, spontaneous, through understanding. When you hear the knock, you can reply. You can just say, I'm using the toilet. If you want to use, I will speed up whatever I'm doing, then I will come out. Then when you come out, if you happen to see the owner, who is like what you say, very unhappy, abusively scolding you or saying all those very difficult to for normal people to like, not to get angry or unhappy when they heard that, like you say, it's abusive and all those type of words. Then through your mindfulness, you will know. Then of course, it's not about right and wrong anymore. It's about resolving it amicably through right speech, right action, and right way to approach the situation. You should straight away apologize. I'm very sorry if I have make any mistake or whatever. My fault, you can say my fault because I didn't ask for your permission and I didn't know you don't allow people to use your toilet. So don't try to argue with people anymore because you don't go and tell her, I came here before, I used before. What the fuss? Oh, then you lead to more misunderstanding. Most people is like that. If you turn down and talk to them nicely, you say, I'm really sorry because it was an emergency. Otherwise, I would have secured permission. I hope you can excuse me this time. And I promise you the next time, if ever I have an emergency, I will ask for permission before I use. So if you were to reply in such a manner, it will at least tone down the situation, unless that particular person has a lot of karmic negativity, then it's different. Because as a cultivator, you will know. I shared with you all before last time, the person who sell the kuay tiao tang because of some misunderstanding, he also say all those very abusive things. But then I knew inside, karmically he's going to get it. I couldn't help it because this is karma. This is the way it is. It has to be. So I just retained metta. I didn't really do anything. Then from far, where he said it from far, where the sun came and attend to me, where I called the sun, I said, how much is it? I would like to pay. Then the son was very young, I think, school children. He went back and asked the father. And he came back with a pricing that I know is wrong because I ordered a small one. He charged me the large one. So I told him nicely, I said, can you check again? I said, I ordered a small one. Instead of replying to me, the boy go and tell the father. I think the boy was not tactful or what is it. The customer say he ordered small one. Why are we charging him the big one? Actually, I didn't say that. No. I say I ordered the small one. Please go and check whether the price is correct or not. But the father, I think, got that karmic negativity. He straight away reacted and say all those very abusive words and comically very severe. And then deep inside my nature, I can feel it. Then I redid this metta and I did, my nature did whatever it can. Forgive him for he know not what he's doing. Then redid metta, may he be well and happy. May no harm come to him and all that. But deep inside it knew, nature's law taken effect, he cannot do anything. Then I told the son, you don't worry, I pay you full. You go and pay it to your whatever, boss or your dad or what. So I left after that. You know what happened to him or not? The next morning, I passed by the shop. He was no more there. 6 months later, because after that, another lady, must be the wife or the related one, took over the store. Then 6 months later, I saw this same person become like, it's like somebody having a stroke or doesn't know what happened to him. Very severe. He like after you get a stroke, you cannot do anything. Then, like, he was not himself. And very, very severely handicapped and all those things. Then again, I read metta. But lucky, because I radiated those metta and all those things, he recovered. He recovered, I think, 3 months later. Then after that, he ran that business again, took over, and he became a different person. No more the anger and all those things. Yeah. That was what happened. So what I'm trying to share with you is, sometimes if you have that cultivation, you can understand, you will know it's coming. There's nothing much you can do. You just do whatever that is within your capacity. Yeah. Then there's another possibility. Sometime after you cultivate, all this will arise and test you. You will be tested. When you are tested, it's a spontaneous thing. So you don't go and like rationalize and tell yourself, "Aiyo, I'm stupid. Next time I should ask for permission or those things so that I won't get into trouble." I mean, that one is a good thought, but it's still a thought, understand? Because whatever it is, if a situation where you need to seek permission, you should. Because this is not a coffee shop. If it's a coffee shop, it's different. Normally, it's a shop where they sell sundry things or meat or whatever, where they don't like allow people to use their toilet, but it's not a public toilet itself. Whereas coffee shop, or you go to this, what they call Waisekai and all those things, where all these toilets are meant for public usage. Then that one everybody use. Other type of shop, normally if you can, you refrain, unless it's an emergency, then you should seek permission. So this is a common understanding that will be a good guide. But like you say, you use it before, so you didn't know. So when you are confronted with this situation, it's a matter of having the Dhamma to act accordingly. So like I explained the other day, under whatever circumstances, you must act with understanding, with wisdom, to resolve whatever thing amicably via Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. That's why this one you must cultivate them first, otherwise you cannot act. Right view means straight away you understand whatever that happened, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. Sometimes it's a karmic thing. Because in the past, you also scold people, abuse people for using your toilet. So now got condition, turn around, you get into trouble, and then people scold you, abuse you. But sometimes it's a test. That's why I say, you don't know. The situation can be very different, can be very varied, because life is not always the same. Life, as you experience it, as you go through it, you will come to know everyone is different, every condition is different, every situation is different. So the action is there and then through understanding. That's why spontaneously it will arise, the understanding. And if the understanding is there, the Noble Eightfold Path, the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, they will surface. But you have to cultivate this before you can do it. In cultivation, like I have explained, there are many stages. The Buddha explained in the teaching, there are three phases of Dhamma that you have to develop the cultivation on. Phase one is pariyati. Pariyati we have gone through. Pariyati is to develop the learning of the teaching, the learning of the doctrine, based the essential Dhamma. We have to understand the teaching. After you have developed the understanding, then only you can put it into practice. That is phase two, Patipati. After you have put it into practice, then you can awaken to it. Then you can benefit from it. Then you can develop the understanding of it. And then you can do it under the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You reap the fruit of your hard work, your diligence, your understanding, whatever that you have cultivated. Then you can act accordingly. Then you will become different. So this is what action is all about. It has to be developed through the Dhamma understanding. And ultimately, it's free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why it's free of the memory, free of knowledge, free of the conditioning and all those things. Then regarding your question of how can you be mindful so that you don't go and arise all those unnecessary thinking, verbalization and all those things after the incident. This one, you cannot like learn from somebody and like want an answer. It's like meditation. You keep on asking meditation questions. Then when people explain to you, you didn't listen attentively. So what happened is, you are like seeking an answer, understand, on how to act, on how to meditate. So what happened is, most of these people who ask this type of question, and other question, even after all the answer I give, which you all know, the final question is what? So, Brother Teo, how should I act? So, Brother Teo, how should I meditate? See? The question comes from the lack of understanding of the sharing and the teaching. Because the teaching, like the Buddha said, is very simple. You don't have to believe even him. You have to investigate on what he said and understand it. Then only you can cultivate it. You understand? It's an understanding. It's not a rigid patterning, understand? Where you premeditated or you preempt and try to use that knowledge to act in the future. There is no such thing. Every situation is different. Every condition is different. Everyone is different. That's why wisdom cannot be taught. It's an understanding. There and then, it has to come out through understanding. Spontaneously, the mind just know what to do. And that is what pure action or true action is. It's never through the brain that consider or rationalize or analyze or trying to reason. So it's not a question of how should I act or how can I develop more, what you mentioned just now, is mindfulness so that I will not end up like that. It depends on your cultivation, the stability of it. Initially, you will go through like what you go through. Never mind, let the sankhara arise, sana sana. Then like they say, learn from it. Learn from it means the past is already gone, not a reality anymore. But if I can reflect on it, contemplate on it, and learn from it, then it is a contemplative understanding. Then you can learn from it. But don't make it into a pattern, understand? You know what is a pattern? You use it for future action. And then it's not the what they call the true Dhamma already. Because you pattern it through a memory. Then in future, when something similar happens, this memory will trigger out. Oh, I think I shouldn't do that. I should do this. Or I shouldn't continue to think about it and all things. Well, all these are rationalization. And like the Buddha said, all of sankhara is impermanent. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. All of sankhara lead to suffering. So why do I think? I don't have to think. I only need to understand. Then I act. So like I say, you can reflect and contemplate, which is second turning wisdom. then you develop the understanding. You don't go and pattern it into a memory, so that in future you act according to memory. No. You reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding, so that you know how to solve this thing amicably. It's just like when something happened already, you stir already. So the Buddha's advice is, there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. Of course, the first two ways is thought-based. It will not benefit you much, like we used to go through. The first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. But now you have mindfulness, you don't have this problem already. Yeah. You straight away know this is negativity. This is leading to karmic, and is going to cause more misunderstanding, more argument, and it will not solve the problem. So you won't go through it. Then the second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought and allow it to condition you into more negativity. So the consequence of holding on to all this wrong thought that will condition your mind into negativity. Because this is like evil, root of all evil, make you evil. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, abandon it. So this one is reflection and contemplation. But by the time you cultivate that, you should have enough mindfulness. And you should have the ability not to be affected by all this, because your understanding should be there already. So the third way is very important. The third way is the meditative way, the Buddha said. Just aware, silent. So even after that thing, the incident, let's say, yeah, you can still reflect. Then, if you want to develop some understanding, you can recall to mind what Guang Xing Lao He Sang used to teach you. 过去心不可得, 未来心不可得, 现在心也不可得. Yeah, these are not a reality. The past is already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. Even the present moment, which is the highest in life, is still not a reality. Split second is gone. Split second is gone, no reality. So that's why Guang Xing Lao He Sang developed the wisdom, and he knew all these are not a reality. And you end up like the Buddha say, all of sankhara, mental activity, thinking, they are impermanent. If you cling, grasp and hold, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, it's not real, it's empty, it's not you. That's why from there, Guang Xing Lao He Sang will know, 做完了, 没事了, where that incident is already over. No more reality. Finish. Finish means finish. Understand? The carryover to the sankhara, the thinking, is a habitual tendency. And this dialogue initially will be very powerful. Even as you walk back, most of the time, you are preoccupied with that sankhara. Understand? You are hardly mindful of other things already. Well, that thing has grasped you, caused you to cling, has caused you to give meaning. Then you become habitual. Through habitual tendency, you grasp at it, you cling to it, and you create all the story inside there. And this is for you to see how the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the sankhara, create all this. And even you think, or you don't think, what is the difference? Is there any difference? That's how you will end up knowing. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Wisdom is, you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. Don't have, cultivate it. That's why the Buddha said, meditate on it. Using the third way, stay with it. The anger will cease to be. So like in this case, based on what you have described, you have done quite well because you said there was no stirring, there was no reaction leading to more misunderstanding and argument and all those things. The only thing is maybe the way you asked for forgiveness was not refined enough, not effective enough, understand or not? Not eloquent enough to touch the other person's feeling or heart. If you can use the appropriate right speech, right way to act, she will become different. So you straight away should apologize in a very sincere manner. I'm really sorry if I caused any misunderstanding because it's not my intent. Anyway, for your information, it was an emergency. Really, I'm really sorry. So you have to laugh and smile a bit. Then you have to also observe her emotion and all those things. If you know it's coming, then don't talk. The more you talk, the worse it becomes. You just continue to say, I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry. Forgive me. For I really don't understand. It is my own lack of mannerism or stupidity. I should have seek your permission. So if you say all these things and don't argue, people will tone down. Understand? Then they will say, it's okay. Next time, just let me know. I will let you use. They will turn down. But all this is there and then at that moment, because it's not easy. If you don't have the understanding, it's not easy. If you have not had the stability of mindfulness, understanding, and wisdom to deal with such situation, it can be quite difficult. But nevertheless, you have done quite well. You can still refine on it and improve on it. That's why the fourth way is wisdom way, the Buddha said. Trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it. It's always from one of your senses that stir your mind. But in this case, your mind did not stir, because you have the understanding, no point, and all those things. But then, your cultivation of right speech, right thought, and right action is still not perfected or not refined enough for you to have this ability to resolve all this matter amicably. So your action is still, in a way, not refined enough or lacking in certain maybe more refined approaches. So this is where you can work on and improve yourself. So cultivation is not about how can I reduce all this. You need to have the Dhamma understanding. You need to have wisdom. Then naturally the mind will know what to do. It's just like how to act. I cannot teach you how to act. Action comes from understanding. If you don't have the understanding, you cannot act. You will continue to act the old way, which is through memory, through views, opinion, and knowledge. Then you recall through mind what the brother Theo say. Or you went like what you say, rational. I already apologize. Why this fellow still like that? And all this is not going to help you, understand? Or? Do you know the more you think about it that way, in future, when you confront the same situation, when that person again scold you or another person scold you and abuse you, you know what you will do? You will repeat what you have thought about. Come on, I already apologize. Why are you doing it? You will say all these things. When you think about it, you go and prepare yourself, understand, through knowledge. But the thought tell you, why are you so stupid? You already apologize. Why you continue to say sorry? For what? Yeah, tell him off. And I tell you, people who get very angry, the envy, the jealousy, they go and think until this sankhara becomes so cocoon of what they call negativity, Then in future, this is what you have prepared, you know, in your memory, you know. And I tell you, when there is condition, this anusaya latent tendency will be like a submachine gun. All will come out, I tell you. It's just like spouse when they get angry. Then you go and think, this fellow, he say all this to me. I'm going to remember. I'm going to counter him by telling him all. Oh, then you prepare all this thing. And this is how you become what you are. Conditioned into all this action and movement. And this is what Sankara is all about. That's why I forget about all these things. This thing is not going to solve your problem. This thing is going to make you worse. Yes, you are using the egoic mind through delusion to argue. Don't try to be right. Don't try to reason. Yeah, that is not the way to resolve things amicably. If you try to be right and try to reason, you will get into trouble. Yeah, that guy, the other side, is not the one with understanding. He also, like you, want to be right. So if both want to be right, what happened? You sure get into more misunderstanding and argument non-stop. He will have his counter answer to what you say. Then end of the day, you know what happened? You also like that one. Last time you also did this one. So all the grandmother story. Understand? And all these are your attachment, your craving, your clinging, your grasping, your very strong, what they call premeditated action that you have already spent so much time planning it, working on it. That's why when the condition arises, all this will shoot up. Yeah. And they are not listening at that time. They just want to tell you all. Because this is what mind is all about, Sankara. Okay? Yeah. So, we should thank Padmasri for the good condition. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, this is what human nature that don't have the understanding, they will tend to act that way. But for your case, it's different. At least you have the Dhamma. You already know how to act to a certain extent. But your refinement of Noble Eightfold Path factor to allow you to act in a more refined manner, to resolve things amicably, there is still room for improvement. So work on it. It's not easy, you know, to build up this understanding of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, especially right thought, right speech, right action. They come from right view. Then the refinement of all this virtue, the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, they are not in you. I realize a lot of cultivators never do this. For they don't even understand what is right thought, what is right speech, the appropriate, good, proper, pleasant speeches that lead to harmony, that lead to true action, that can resolve things amicably, that can make people feel good, like feel confident when they are near you. They are like, there is no fear when they are near you. They have this faith in you, and they can trust you, and they feel very good talking to you. Yeah, because you have the understanding, the patience, then you can advise them. And your speech bring about more calm, more peace. That's why the gift of fear, the gift of truth, these are very high level of gift. Giving of life, these are all dhanaparami. And all this can arise when you have the Dhamma, when you have the understanding. So there are a lot of possibility of application of true Dhamma, beautiful Dhamma, you should know how to develop it. Then not only right speech, right thought, right action Even the way you live your life has to be in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. So all this, you need right effort to cultivate those right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. And that is a very big topic to cultivate on, to develop your ability to act. That's why I remember during the early day, I wrote it down, all the possibility of right speech, right action, right thought, and right livelihood. I remember I had a major breakthrough when I was in Japan. When I reflected and contemplated on this power factor. By then, I already had the understanding of the teaching. But then, because that place I went to, they had this seminar on how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. And they have a lot of people turn around. Then when I was there, the condition was such, I not only understood what they are trying to use, I even understood how to actually refine upon it, develop it much better for them. That's why that contemplative understanding and wisdom at that time, it really unfolded. Until I was so excited, I came back, I wrote down those pointers which I have reflected and contemplated. Then I realized this is very useful, very helpful. It can help many people. That's why through my own reflection and contemplation, I came up with all those definitions of right speech, right action, right thought, right livelihood, and how to apply them into real life situation, and how to help people resolve things amicably so that they can move on, so that they can have the good life. Then how to link all the teaching together and how to add in those that are missing. Because the problem with the Dhamma community or the Buddhist community, the practitioner, is very few cultivators now can understand the true teaching because they couldn't link all this teaching together into one big picture, like a zigzag puzzle. All the parts are everywhere, but they don't know how to put them into the complete big picture so that you can see the overall and the connection of all the pieces, how they fit in. If you can't understand it, the totality of it, the full picture, then you cannot understand the pieces of puzzle, because it doesn't look like you do all this zigzag puzzle to build up the puzzle. On itself, one individual piece, you don't have much idea what it is, because a lot of things are missing. So the Dhamma nowadays is the same. They teach everything in isolation. Even when they talk about Four Noble Truths, they just have a standard answer. First Noble Truth, life is suffering. That is not the First Noble Truth. You didn't even go into detail. You didn't even understand what that thing is. Then Three Evil Root, greed, hatred, and delusion, like a parrot. But you don't know what it is. Why the Buddha call it the evil root? It's the root of all evil. It leads to evil. It makes you evil. And what constitutes evil? You have to expand on it. What is greed? What the Buddha meant by greed? Is it only greedy? There are many more. Then why he said this are evil root? Root of all evil. How come it can make you evil? You have to reflect on it, contemplate on it, investigate into it. Then only you can come to understand through the right view why the advice of the Buddha is such. You have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Because it's about karma. It's connected back to karma. And karma itself is a very, very major topic to develop the understanding. The law of karma. From the law of karma, certain truth about karma, which the Buddha has taught, the five daily contemplation, the fifth one. Then karma is moral causation. Cause and effect, you reap what you sow. It is cetana or mental intention that I call karma, the Buddha said. So you have to understand it. Then you reap what you sow. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. So all this is how you develop the understanding, the cultivation, and how you link. If you don't develop mindfulness and attentiveness to link and to develop the understanding, it's very difficult to understand the teaching. Because the understanding comes from investigation, comes from developing the ability to connect all these essential Dhamma so that they all fall into place like a big six-law puzzle. Then you know, five spiritual faculty, five mental hindrance, they are opposite paths or mental states. Spiritual faculty lead you to have the ability to understand spiritual teaching. Mental hindrance is a state of mind that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why it's called mental hindrance. And all this you have to understand, and you have to reflect on them and go into it and find out, investigate into it. If I have sensual desire, you will. Is it a hindrance? Then how did I develop the hindrance? And then through mindfulness, you will see. Throughout the day, before you have this understanding, you tend to react and stir your mind. You have a lot of mental hindrance or sensual desire, you will. At every moment of sense or consciousness, these are arising. That's why you cannot cope with life. Then like I said, if you are mindful, you will come to understand, in the midst of life, your senses are fully operational. Five physical senses and the mind. They are very, very active. Fully functional. And they move so fast. At the moment of seeing, the seeing consciousness, so many things happen. Every moment of hearing, so many things happen. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. And you have to live life. That's why you cannot cope. Without mindfulness, you cannot cope. Your mind is so heedless, running around everywhere, stirring, reacting, creating all these things. Your content of consciousness, you cannot see, you cannot understand. How it stir you, how it make you what you are. And the characteristic behind universal character, all you don't have the understanding of it. Because you are not sensitive. You don't have the silent mind. You don't understand who you are, what you are. That is Shodhamma. You don't have the understanding of what Sati is. That's why you cannot meditate. You cannot develop the understanding. So this is all the Dhamma, the cultivation that you have to reflect on, contemplate on, and work on it. It's a very major field, major topic. That's why last time I used to say it's a full-time job. Full-time job doesn't mean you have to give up your job. Full-time job means in the midst of life, you have to have this mindfulness leading to heedfulness to cultivate this noble eightfold path. There is a lot of work to be done to develop that contemplative wisdom, the understanding, the cultivation, and to insight into phenomena, to understand all this essential Dhamma and the teaching. Then only you can reap the fruition of it, the third phase of Dhamma. Then only you can apply it and live it and become the embodiment of that Dhamma understanding. Then when the form and mind has that understanding and the wisdom connected to it, it's no longer deluded. You cannot be deceived by the phenomenal world anymore. Then you got no more problem. Then all your questions will be self-answered. There's no more question. All these questions come from the thought. So initially, you can ask, no problem, because by asking, you have the condition for this nature of mind to share with you the true cultivation, the true understanding. And nowadays, I realize the sharing has to shift, because you all have reached a point where you can understand this deeper aspect of cultivation. It's no more about last time where I just continue to share with you the essential Dhamma, because I find that initially that was lacking. But now, the essential Dhamma has been covered all over. If you listen to all the sharing, the talk, the recording, the website, everything is there. Like I used to tell Sister Siugeng, Sister Lee, and even quite a number of Kanyamita, you actually don't need any more Dhamma. What we need is maybe the higher understanding of the Bodhisattva way and the deeper aspect of cultivation. That's why now the sharing is focused on the cultivation, the application of it. Well, this is where the nitty-gritty and the hard work is. And I realize the essential Dhamma are everywhere. You already have it. But very few people really put it into cultivation. If you have put it into cultivation, you will have this understanding. Then you will understand what I share with you. Then all this understanding will surface and it will bring you to another level of understanding and it will transform you. And this is happening because the consciousness is different. Like I share with you all in the new book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. You read through, you will understand. I mentioned in one part, I said, my nature saw all the signs, can feel that this is coming. That's why the Bodhisattva Way, end of 214, the sign came, and my nature knew. Then early on, like I told many Kayamita, as we develop this sharing more and more, initially it's like, every year, you can see the progress. The Kayamita has developed, the progress has become more and more beautiful. Then later on, I mentioned, it's going to happen faster because the sign came, the Bodhisattva Way came. Then it's not only year by year, month by month, then later on, day by day, you all will progress. Then finally, when you all have this understanding and you all work on it, moment to moment, a lot of Kayamita is going to progress. And you take the aspiration, the Bodhisattva vow, you plant the seed of Bodhi and really work on it. It doesn't take long. Maybe within a few months, you will become very different. Then over the next 1 or 2 years, 2 or 3 years, your understanding stabilizes and you become very different. Then it's your time to share. Then a lot of things will happen. Then, like I said, when the time comes where we can talk to each other through understanding, it is the most beautiful. That time, that Dhamma, that flow from our understanding is going to bring forth so much joy, so much understanding. So all this is happening. It's a matter of how much faith you have, how dedicated you are. That's why I say you need 3 things: faith, sincerity, and perseverance. The way will be there, the path will be there. When you have faith, you will plant the seed of Bodhi. Then you will know what to do. You will learn the essential Dhamma. You will follow the advice of the Buddha. Take the 4 basic vows and the 3 set of pure precepts. Then from there, you will know how to establish all the right views, asking for forgiveness, making aspiration for this understanding to be there, life after life, then cultivating affinity, all the great beings, the Bodhisattva and the Buddhas, then how all these beings, great vow, will take you along, and how the four basic vow will help you walk the path with understanding and able to allow you to develop all the necessary perfection that you need. And the three set of pure precept is the more refined type of advice of the Buddha, where you cultivate more extensively following the Bodhisattva way. Okay? Yeah. I hope I have answered your question. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You got any other question or any other drink? Thank you for the question. I recovered. My running nose no more. Yeah. Pass the mic to Alicia. Yeah.
Hello, Bertha. Yeah, good evening. 我读了那个布迪萨特威那个书，它里面有讲到，如果没有记错的，它是说要 ask for forgiveness until 我们 hit 到什么
八地菩萨啊，
对，
哦 ，fourth stage of bodhi mind development， when you can renounce samsara， then you are very safe. Otherwise, that forgiveness you have to continue.To ask, because the problem arises when there is no more Buddha Sasana. When the form and mind arise, then there is no Buddha Sasana. Even as a Bodhisattva, you can still fall, deteriorate, but you won't go to the four willful state of Apaya Bhumi, means.The demon rhyme, the animal rhyme, the hungry ghost rhyme, or the hell. Not to say you won't go. Karmic-wise, you will not fall. But sometimes Bodhisattva choose to take birth down there in the sama. Because they want to learn, they want to understand. And then, because they choose to come in the sama, and then they can go down there.But you will not fall until like normal being, because you are not born with a delusion mind. So you will not fall to the four woeful state, because you don't have the ignorance or delusion to fall. Unless you are the Bodhisattva who took the vow before you have the abilityto become Arahant and beyond. But most of these people, even before when you take this vow, you will also not fall, where you would have at least realized a Sotapannaship. And the Sotapannaship will never break their five precepts, and they will never fall to the four woeful state. Maximum seven lives, they will realize Arahantship.So normally before this seven life, if you had taken the vow, you would have been on the Bodhisattva way. And this Bodhisattva way would have been firmly established, because you plant the seed of Bodhi with faith, with understanding, with sincerity, with determination and affirmation. And this will drive you. This willplant the seed of Bodhi strongly, firmly into your nature. And this will have its own causes and conditions for you to move. So all this, the cultivator, the Bodhisattva who go this way, they will know, they will understand. But only those who have reached the far end can have the complete,understanding, very different understanding, to share with you all this type of higher understanding. But when you understand, it's not difficult, it's quite easy, like I mentioned in the book. Do you have any specific question?
其实没有，只是我 suddenly 哎，原来我要做这个做。
Yeah, repentance 还要做的。
对，还有 Radio 其实读了那本书之后，就是 first 我们已经没有 aspiration，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后接下来就是要 cultivate 那个 virtues，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
然后就是。就是做法了。
Yeah, the three very important quality. 你的 faith 要 very strong, unshakable. 你 very sincere to go this way, then 做 persevere. This is the three things. But after you plant the seed of Bohi, you become very different because that seed of Bohi is the cause of Samasa Buddhahood. And that is the triggering point.And that one has to be done with understanding. I always state understanding. When you understand, you have the faith, determination, affirmation, and you do it with that very strong faith. Then it will take root. Then it will nurture. Then it will bloom. That's why after that, you have to make aspiration for all those right view. Life after life, when you come, you must have them. Because without this right view,Once the sasana is gone, the world don't have the teaching. And through karmic, you will roam. Because your form and mind is subject to karma. So you roam. Roam until your condition, only you can connect back. And that is going to take a long time. Long time. So when you make aspiration with very strong, firm determination through understanding like this line,Where the sasana is there, your merits are very different. They are very powerful, very potent. So when you invoke power of merits, of course the same condition for you to have this understanding, life after life, not only next sasana, but life after life from now onward. So that every form of mind that come, segmented life that come,Whether you choose to come or you have to come, you already have this understanding. That's why it will come to fruition. It will unfold and take you along. And you will develop the understanding very fast and you will connect very fast. And from there, you start your cultivation again. And you will reach back to your old level very fast. Then because of this continuation,By the time you hit the next sasana, you are already very beautiful. You are already very different. That's why when you hit the next sasana, you will understand all this very clearly and you will know how to make the affinity, the aspiration. Then as you go through all this, you will meet a lot of Samasambuddha, a lot of great bodhisattva. Just like Sakyamuni, he mentioned. He met so many, actually. Yeah. Then towards the end,The 24 that predicted him, they were all Samasambuddhas. So a lot of people who don't have the understanding, they don't know what this way is all about. That's why the Mahayana is very established this way because they have a lot of bodhisattvas and Samasambuddha who has gone for and realized. That's why they have this teaching. It's very rich.It's just like that day I shared with one of the Kayamita, I forgot who he is. You see, you look at our civilization, this civilization. For the last 30, 40 years, we progressed so fast. So you look at the aeroplane technology or automobile technology. We only started at the beginning of the 19th century, the Wright brothers.That time was so primitive. It was the glider type of plane, the version where you go to the high mountain, take off from the cliff, then let it glide. Then later they add in propeller. Now it's jet engine, turbine, and all those things. Then they even have rocket technology propulsion where no...atmosphere also they can fly where they got liquid oxygen and other things they could feel. They don't need the atmosphere to provide oxygen and other things. Then you look at the way technology involved the plane. From such a simple prototype, people just improve on it. Then they create the innovative later generation type of plane until it becomes so sophisticated. Even car is the same. The technology evolves so fast. From fossil fuel, now they can have hybrid. Then fully electric car. And all this you never heard before. Even your handphone, smartphone, the way people do business and do things is different. Information flow, information technology, scientific advancement, they are so evolved. And we are still so young on our planet, our situation, only 40 years or so. So if you look at the spiritual field, it's the same. The Mahayana is just like the advanced civilization. Because so many people, like China, you look at China, it was so backward 50 years ago. Or 40 years ago. Now you look at China, like Bratil just now said, they have to leapfrog because their population is very big and their people are very hardworking. And the government is so good, the technology is moving so fast. So our civilization can show it to you that if Dhamma can be developed in the same way, it's the same. So it's just like now you look at Mahayana and Theravada. Theravada orthodox tradition refused to change on Anasana. Keep on, hold on to the old Anasana. Anything not sure, they chop it off. Means like last time China, the Iron Curtain. They want to be self-sufficient. They don't want to import anything. They don't want to learn from people. They thought they are very smart. Then you will continue to go backward. You will never learn, never advance. Because all this sharing of understanding technology is very important. So the Bodhisattva way is because all these Bodhisattva, the Mahayana, they try. And so many people try and become successful. So it's like the prototype. So when I saw all these other great beings, how they do it, and I also can improvise on it, develop it further, improve on it, and come up with new things. Then other people can learn your thing. That's how they progress very far. That's how they have all this understanding. That's why the teaching is very different. And you cannot blame Mahayana for all this advancement because they make it a point to share all this understanding and develop all this cultivation. But if you want to stay on with the traditional teaching, the limited teaching and understanding, where the essence is lost, mostly lost, you can't flourish. You cannot grow. You will be stuck, stagnant, and all those things. So in a similar way, when we understand all this, we will understand how the spiritual field also have to open up, evolve, and move. That's why you continue to stick to your what they call limited view and hold on to that tradition. It's very difficult for you to come out of the, they call it, the vicious cycle that trap you. So on this teaching, do not be afraid of technology. Do not be afraid of advancement in the world. It's not the technology, it's the user of technology. The user of all this understanding. So you don't go and say, Mahayana a lot of things, not in the teaching one. It's all created later on, after the Buddha died. You go and believe all this, you will get into trouble. What you should understand is, like the Buddha said, investigate into everything. Like the Buddha said, before he arrived, the Dhamma was already there. He only proclaimed the Dhamma again. It was already there. And before him, there were so many that has gone that way. So just like how you take your Bodhisattva vow, you invoke the understanding. You develop the faith because there is a lot who has gone before you, the Sugata that has taken this path and finished the cultivation. Just like them, you vow to take all these vows to fulfill the perfection and all those things. Okay? Sadhya, sadhya, sadhya. Any other question? Or anybody want to report their meditation? You can write them down, it's very important. Otherwise the next session, I think we make it a point and we go around one by one. Otherwise, nobody want to put up their hand. Today, never mind. 5 more minutes, nothing much you can do. Okay, otherwise we can end early. 5 minutes early today, beat the alarm. Okay, we recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus. Then we share all this wholesomeness of merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, please pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. And we end. Thank you.